Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Happy New Year, everyone. Once again, it's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We are so glad to be with you. This is Catholic Vitamin B, and the word is...
Bodacious.
Bodacious. I wonder if I looked that up. I think I did look it up. I just think it means something that is full of life, exuberant, outgoing, and our guest sort of fits that. Our guest is
Jim Havens.
Jim Havens is Vice President of Mission and Communication for the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network back east, and we'll get into all of that during the interview. I'll read a little bit of why I found Jim Havens doing a little research. He wrote in a little bio that he did, 19 years ago, I opened my heart in sincere prayer one evening and experienced a true encounter with Jesus and then with his mother Mary. It began a search for truth, which eventually led me back into the sacramental life of the Catholic Church 3 years later. Striving to seek God's will above my own, I started on a path of grace that led me to Franciscan University. Yay! For 3 years.
All roads lead to Franciscan.
And he has an MA in theology and Christian ministry, and he's done apostolic work for 12 years, and he's now involved in Catholic radio, as I said, back east. And I think, and I'm sure that you'll be inspired by listening to our interview time with Jim Havens.
All right. This is episode 369 for the World Wide Web.
And on KPIH, Rim Catholic Radio in Payson.
It is show number 15.
So we're glad to have both audiences, the World Wide Web version and our local North Central Arizona community. Dee.
Yes.
Time for a little bit of vitamin P.
Prattle.
Prattle. What do we got?
Well, we were going to mention Rosary in the Home. We just had that today.
We are restarting something that we did going back, what, 16 or 15 years ago?
It started in Colorado, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And we were meeting once a month, the first Thursday of the month. And then what happened here is that a group on the other side of town opened up their home, and they started doing a Rosary in the Home and some meetings. And so our group sort of splintered. But it just felt at the beginning of the year that I felt called to get this started. So I guess December we did.
November, December, we had our first one again.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that our group was here today. Small, but I just felt the prayer was very beautiful. And you, dear, are helping us to use the scriptural rosary.
I really like the scriptural rosary.
All right. Why don't you explain it to people so that they'll know what that means?
It is... Well, you take scripture and each, you do a little scripture verse before each Hail Mary.
Okay, so if we were doing the Joyful Mysteries today because of still being in the Christmas season, we had the first Joyful Mystery was the Annunciation.
Right. And so then, every verse in that first decade would be related to that.
Yeah, so... Really enjoyable, and it doesn't add but just a few seconds to each, each one of the Hail Marys that we're doing.
I really like it.
And it seems like our people that are there are enjoying it as well. So that's a Rosary in the Home, and maybe you might consider opening up your home and your heart to bring people together because, dear listener, this is... January, which is Pro-Life Respect Life Month,
That's the next thing I was going to bring up.
We have many pro-life, respect life demonstrations taking place.
And there's always the big one, the big march in Washington, D.C. every year.
One of the things that has impressed me about Franciscan University is that the president, the former president of Franciscan University, Father Michael Scanlon, and many of the professors, they will take time off. They get on bus. They ride buses, right.
and they ride through the night.
Yeah, and they always participate with a lot of joyous students, and you see Franciscan University banners. But not only that one, but I mean Ave Maria University and others. So thanks be to God, praise God, and prayers for pro-life.
It's usually a little nippy in D.C. in January when they have this.
Do you remember who was the inspiration for down in Florida?
Yes, Father O'Doherty.
Father Patrick O'Doherty, our former pastor in Florida. He sometimes didn't even take vacations, but he would take a couple days off, and he would fly back to Washington, D.C., spend the day. I don't remember if he spent the night or flew back at night, but he was only gone a couple days, and what an inspiration he was, and what a dedicated heart he had to the cause of life. We will mention that some of the people coming down from New England, some of the people coming down from New York and New Jersey, they might be a little of a liberal bent, you might say, hate to categorize, but with Father O'Doherty, once a month, he would preach about pro-life, and people were writing letters to the bishop, and but he didn't stop. He just was a faithful pro-life witness. Well, we try to be witnesses to our faith, and one of the ways that we do that is with Catholic Vitamins, nourishing your faith from A to Z. Now, today we have our first reflection from our dear friend and columnist, Sandy G., who is back in Pennsylvania.
Freezing in Pennsylvania right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sandy uses a voice synthesizer. That's a pretty nice sounding voice, Dee. She uses a voice synthesizer because of her ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She's lost her capability to speak, but it hasn't dented her enthusiasm for evangelization, for sharing the faith. And so next up, our time with our correspondent, Sandy G.
Have you ever played Russian roulette? Well, neither have I. But in a way, I think all of us have. Instead of a gun, our weapon of choice is sin. During Advent season, we were reminded to be watchful, be alert. You don't know when the time will come. We can all agree that whether we witness the second coming of Christ or the end of our own individual lives, these words are meant to be heeded. With that in mind, we need to be alert to the sin in us, and perhaps more notably, the triggers that produce sin. We all know the story of David and Goliath. How young David was able to topple the blustery giant with a slingshot and a stone. But as we continue the story, we see how David encountered a bigger giant than Goliath, and his name was Saul. Saul pursued and hunted David, hoping to kill him. We all have giants of sin. The one sin that we can't seem to conquer. Try as we will, it seems to ambush us when we least expect it. There are all kinds of sin, but some are easier to overcome than others. Paul states aptly when he says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate." You see, even Paul struggled with sin. We all do. That's why we need to be aware of the giants that cause us to sin. Certain people and certain situations cause us to sin. We would do well to avoid them. However, that's not always possible. Say, for example, someone at work pushes all your buttons and you become angry. Before blowing your top, take a few seconds and breathe deeply. When you calm down, try finding the root of your anger. If there wasn't anything deeper, our buttons wouldn't be so touchy. The same method could be applied to all of our sins. We need to acknowledge and confront our sinfulness. If we don't, we will continue to repeat the same pattern. The sacrament of reconciliation is a great place to start, but if we find ourselves committing the same sin an hour later, we need something more. Jesus saved us from our sins, but we might need to be delivered from them. Deep-rooted sin requires deep-rooted prayer. A good spiritual director or a Christian counselor could be the key. And an intimate relationship with Jesus and our admitting that we need him is incumbent to our spiritual health. St. John sums it up nicely when he says, "And now children remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be put to shame by him at his coming."
Thanks to our correspondent, Sandy G., from back in snow-clad Pennsylvania. Dee, what did you want to talk about? Oh, you were mentioning our radio station that we have here. KPIH merged, well, the network that we carried, Immaculate Heart Radio, merged with the Relevant Radio Network just a short while ago. And we're beginning to have sort of a new sound, a new approach. They call it Talk Radio for Catholic Life. That's their slogan. Patrick Madrid is still sort of the good morning anchor that we've had on KPIH. Father Matthew, who does the St. Joseph's Workshop, is still on. He moved to the afternoon, as did Terry and Jesse, the two on fire fellows, SWAT team members, spiritual weapons and tactics members. And there's some new voices. One of the things that we're listening to that we had not had too much exposure to was Drew Mariani. Mm-hmm. And today at the end of our rosary that we did, our rosary in the home, we did one chaplet of the Divine Mercy prayers. And one of the ladies who was here for the rosary said that she enjoys listening to Drew Mariani because the second hour of his show, he accepts call-ins from around the country.
Prayer intentions.
And
she said the prayer intentions were usually pretty powerful.
They are. People who are struggling with cancer or addiction or loss of faith issues, and people are calling to ask Drew to lead a decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the calls are just wonderful. So I don't know if you have the Relevant Radio Network in your community. It's now heard in approximately 130 metropolitan and rural areas, reaching over 130 million potential souls. So it's a pretty powerful voice. One of their sub-slogans is "From Maui to Maine," and there's no exaggeration in that. They are definitely heard quite extensively. Listen, look for Relevant Radio in your community. You can also get it. They have a wonderful app that I have on my smartphone, and it has a lot of other features besides listening directly to Relevant Radio.
I just put it on my phone, too.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
All right. We have a little special giveaway that we're going to do before we go into our feature interview. One of the people that we came to know through the Immaculate Heart Radio Network was Sister Miriam. She was originally known as a Jewish lady, Rosalind Moss, M-O-S-S. And she tells her conversion story on a wonderful CD. It's called Holy Shock, S-H-O-C-K. She has a delightful sense of humor, a delightful sense of communication, sometimes self-deprecation, but she leads you through her journey and how God couldn't possibly be asking her to become a Catholic, not her, because she had left the Jewish faith to become an on-power evangelical. It's a great story. So we have some copies of this. If you are one of three people who will send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, at no cost, we'll send you a copy of Holy Shock, the conversion story of Rosalind Ross, who's now known as Sister Miriam.
Miriam. A lot of people liked her, too, on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Yeah, for sure.
We will run this for, two or three shows?
Sure. Give people a chance to send an email. In our community, if you don't have email, you could call our station studio line, which is 928-363-4144, or send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. I'm very happy, proud to bring you the interview with Jim Havens. As I said, he's the Vice President of Mission and Communication for the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network back east. We'll get into that. You'll hear part of that repeated. But when I discovered Jim, made outreach to him, he was quick to respond. So we're joyous to share this on Catholic Vitamins. Longtime listeners to Catholic Vitamins, or newcomers new to our podcast and our program on our Catholic radio station in our community, will know that we're in love with the faith. Our program is Catholic Vitamins, intending to nourish the faith from A to Z. A little bit of a long-winded introduction. I hope our guests will excuse this. I just finished writing a Advent pre-Christmas letter to a Carmelite nun and a good friend who is in a Carmelite monastery back in Pennsylvania. And in the letter, I said to her, I wish that I was Dominic and that she was Scholastica, that we could meet once a year and that we could talk and share our love of the Lord, our love of the church, our love of the sacraments, and share news about what's been going on in our lives. And I said, the only difference is that I would see her soul, the soul of the nun, rising to heaven, and she would be praying for me in purgatory. That said, what I want to say is that our guest is Jim Havens, and I tried to prepare for our time together, and he is a person I would love to meet with once a year over a very long cup of coffee or tea, and to discuss our lives and our faith journeys. Jim Haven, sorry for the long-winded startup. Welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Yeah, thank you, Deacon Tom. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Well, as I said, I tried to do some research, and I have a little format that we do for our interviews, but there is so much ground to cover from the research that I've done. I'm just going to start off with a general question. Who is Jim Havens?
Yeah, well, that's a good general foundational question to start with. Yeah, who is Jim Havens? Well, I'm just a guy who I think has come to faith in Jesus by God's grace, and so that's really where my identity is found. And I think about when it comes to identity, that beginning of the Gospel of John. That probe to John's gospel where it talks about how Jesus came to what was his own and his own people rejected him. But for those who had faith, they can by faith become children of God. And so I really think that that is the identity of all of us who have said yes to Jesus, that from the time we do say yes, it really is a time of us being changed at the level of our very identity, and that, you know, I truly am a son of the Father in Jesus. So I'm really a son in the Son, is how I look at it. And so it brings me into an intimacy with the Father that hopefully grows more and more every day, and an intimacy with the Son, and an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, who unites them. And so an intimacy with our one God, the Holy Trinity, and from there, you know, God has, I think, called me in unique ways in my life to fulfill certain roles, and then I would look next to my vocation and look at myself as a husband and as a father, and then from there, I would look, I would continue to look outward towards the apostolate, the work of the Lord, the work of the kingdom, that he has called me to. And so I think all of those things sort of express, get to my identity. But really, in another way to look at it, I'm just a sinner in need of grace still. Amen. And it's an ongoing conversion, you know, and that also, you know, I would really kind of see myself as sort of just a regular guy who, you know, I think in growing up is, kind of lived a similar story, I think, to a lot of people growing up in the U.S. And by God's grace, somehow Christ was able to break into that when I was a young adult and really, you know, change my life and bring me down the path I continue to walk today by his grace. So so I think all of that kind of gets that identity.
Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful, wonderful summary and overview. For our listeners, I will share with them that I, in trying to do a little work, found out that you're involved in something called the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. We'll come back to that. You're involved in something called the Catholic Family Men, a website and blog, and Love Will End Abortion. And we're very, very pro-life, from conception to natural death on our program. Your show will be slated to follow immediately after a dynamite interview that we just did with Patricia Sandoval, who is who has a powerful, powerful conversion story from a life of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and three abortions to bringing her life in union with Jesus Christ, with repentance. And she's now speaking to primarily young people, but she's speaking all over the world, and has written a wonderful book called Transfigured. I don't want to take any time away from getting to know Jim Havens. Before we get into the Catholic Radio Network and other things that you're doing, can you just describe what it was that was sort of the turning point from whatever you would describe your faith walk in the earlier days, or no faith walk, to the faith life you're walking now? What began to happen in your life?
I think what happened for me is that, I mean, I think God's grace is always present to us and always available to us. And for me, I think what shifted was an openness in my own heart to recognize that and then to receive that. And that happened for me as a young adult. I think I was probably about 19 or 20 years old at the time. And my parents had gotten divorced when I was in high school. And that was difficult for me, but I kind of just buried it and thought, you know, this isn't really going to be a problem for me. And, you know, I didn't really think too much about it or deal with it too much. I just kept moving on. And then, as a young adult, one evening, I had totally stopped praying by this point in my life, even though I grew up cradle Catholic, was baptized as an infant and all of that. I say my life is probably similar to many stories, because that general story of just kind of growing up in a nominal Catholic family and sort of going through the motions, going to CCP to learn, you know, get your education in the faith, which is kind of a mixed bag. And then, you know, not really knowing what was going on at Mass, and no one really even talking about the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, or much wasn't much meat to the catechesis in the faith that I was receiving. So I think finally, as a young adult, having by God's grace, a quiet, lonely moment one night, and really kind of facing myself, I don't know where I came up with the idea to open up a piece of paper in a book and just start writing out my thoughts. But for some reason, I started doing that, and I started writing out my feelings about my parents' divorce. And it kind of opened my heart in a way that I wasn't normally used to doing. And then, it led to some tears as I realized some harsh realities that I was living with, basically a lie, thinking that it was my fault that my parents had divorced, and coming face to face with that, and then just coming face to face with the brokenness and realizing, you know, where do I go with this? And a natural turning to the Lord, but in a sense of saying, in a very honest sense, where I was just sincere and said, Lord, I don't know if you're real, Jesus. I don't know if you're real. I've heard people talk about you, but I've not really experienced you. I don't think I said it in that language, but that was the point. And just saying to him, if you're real, I want to know, because if you're real, then I want you in my life. And I experienced his presence in a way that is hard to explain as I think back on it, but it was a very real understanding that he was there and present with me, and in a sense that he always had been. And now I was finally turning towards him. And then for whatever reason, right after that, I had a sense to turn right then and call upon the Blessed Mother in a similar way and ask her if she's real, I want to know. And again, feeling her presence and having the sense that she's always been with me and she's always been waiting for me and she's always been guiding me and up to this moment. And so it was a big moment for me. And then that kind of led me down a road that eventually, there are a lot of other things that happened, but eventually that led me back to the sacramental life of the Catholic Church. I think it all began in just a acknowledging by God's grace, having a quiet moment to acknowledge my own brokenness. And again, I don't know, it's a mystery of how that sort of transpired that I was led to do that. But then the sincere turning to our Lord, even with a heart that doesn't even know if he's there or not, and the way that he was able to break into that.
Just so beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it sort of mirrors many of the conversion stories that we've covered on Catholic Vitamins, or my own reading. I'm sort of a follower of conversion stories in the Coming Home Network. And I happened to notice that you have had experience with Franciscan University. And for 12 years, I've attended the priest-deacon retreat and conference every summer. And that's been bedrock for me in my own faith journey and growing in the faith. So who knows, but maybe our paths crossed sometime over the years. So
That's great.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, given that we've got a lot yet to cover, and there's just so much that I would love to talk with you about, we started just over 2 years ago, we started a Catholic radio station in our community, four of us. And we didn't know the first thing about what we didn't know, but it's been on the air now, thanks be to God, for 2+ years. And the first thing I noticed that you're involved in a network that I don't know anything about. So the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network, how did it get started and what's your involvement?
Sure. Yeah, we're an EWTN affiliate in the Northeast mostly, with our physical stations are all, Northeast. So so it was actually my father-in-law and his wife. My father and my mother-in-law. So they, it was about, I guess, probably close to around 20 years ago now, where they were down in EWTN and God had been working in their lives. And so they took a trip down to EWTN and they met Mother Angelica. And she said, go back to Buffalo and start a radio station. And they didn't know anything about radio or anything, but they said yes. And they went back and they got together with some folks and figured it out. And by God's grace, it kind of took off in Buffalo. I think at the time there were only a handful of Catholic radio stations in the entire country. And now there are, I think, over 300. So much different landscape back then. But now the network has grown to Rochester, New York, and Boston, Massachusetts is the biggest market in the network, and then Erie, Pennsylvania, Syracuse, New York, some other spots. So I think about 10 stations in all, but they also have the number one Catholic radio mobile app, which is called iCatholic Radio. So that's been a great blessing too. They kind of hit the app movement at the right time and got the word out on that early. So that's been a good way to get the faith out there to folks who aren't even in the Northeast. So it's been good. And I've kind of worked with them over the years on a few different occasions. We've sort of looked at ourselves as a missionary family, and we've just been wide open in prayer to let the Lord move us to where He wants us to be, which has been a lot of different places over the past decade of our marriage. And so, you know, every 2 years, it almost has seemed like we've been moving for different ministry callings. But we're back up here. I'm originally from the Buffalo, New York area, as is my wife. And so now we're stationed here, living in Rochester, New York, working back again for Catholic Radio. And again, this, you know, every time the Lord moves us, we kind of feel, well, our prayer is kind of like, Lord, I hope that maybe you could root us, give us some roots here. But we're wide open, you know, whatever you want. And, you know, he hasn't answered that prayer yet to really root us in. But certainly we do have a hope that that this is where He's going to root us in for a long time. And it certainly seems that way as of right now. So it's a great blessing to be up here working for Catholic Radio in Rochester.
Amen. Praise God. And when my wife, dear wife Dee, hears this interview, she's going to say, pray that the anchor is down, because that's what she wants for us. We've moved a lot as well. our radio station here is affiliated with the Relevant Radio Network. Probably you've heard of them, if not aware of their programming. And it has, in its 2 years, already been a blessing in several ways. People who go to daily mass telling us that they are learning things about the faith they never knew. Or one lady who's in her late ages, like 80-something, who said that she started listening when we first went on the air. I don't know how she found us. And she's now in RCIA, if you can believe this, and coming into the Catholic Church, God willing, at the Easter Vigil. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you mm-hmm. know of or you've heard of these sort of stories. It's just so great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a very powerful evangelization tool, almost to the degree that it's almost unbelievable the way the Lord works through Catholic Radio. Unless somebody saw it, I think, from the inside, it'd be hard for them to even realize the impact of what it does. But I've heard countless stories now of people who have just been flicking through the channels as they drive, or they see a bumper sticker and they tune in, and it ends up leading them back to the sacramental life of the church and changing their whole life. So it really is incredible.
Amen. Amen. let's see. What else? Just a sidebar, since you mentioned your wife and being married and moving. Tell us about who you married and about your family.
Sure. Yeah. My wife's name is Becky. And we just celebrated. We just celebrated our 9-year anniversary in October. And so almost a decade we've been married, and we've had 7 children in that time. 2 passed during miscarriage. So that was those were difficult moments. But we're raising our 5 kids right now, and they range in age from 8 down to about 7 months. And it's a blessing. It's an active and full life, but it really is great to just continue to dive into the adventure of the vocation of marriage and family together, and learn more and more every day, and always coming back to humility, and always coming back to the need to of reconciliation, and to unite our hearts, my spouse and I, and then to let it flow over for our children, and hopefully flow over from our family out into our community. So,
well, you might tell Becky that I have said numerous times over the course of the 7 years that we've been doing this podcast version of our program that every interview on Catholic Vitamins comes with 20 hours of free babysitting. I don't know how you would work it out to to take us up on that, but the offer stands, and would dearly love to meet your wife and family sometime if we get back east. All right.
That would be great. Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. So the next thing on my little research list was Catholic family men. Tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah, that was something that came about a few years back for me when just sensing a call. I think it was during the, I think it started during the Year of Faith that Pope Benedict XVI, I think, had proclaimed. And just the sense that to do something online, to kind of do more of some sort of evangelization online. And so this idea kept sort of ruminating in my heart and mind about just the importance of the basics, the importance for me to be focused on my vocation as a husband and father, and how it's just so easy, even when that's really what I desire, to be, to fulfill my vocation well and be the best husband and father I can be. I do desire that, but then I was finding myself just being so spread thin, you know, throughout all the different responsibilities throughout life and all the things that distract, and realizing, wow, I've got to figure out a way to get more intentional about this. And so I thought, well, if I hold myself to some sort of accountability and I actually am publishing something online about this, well, that's going to make me keep learning about it and keep focused on it and keep giving it my attention. So this idea of putting out a resource for husbands and fathers that would first be a resource for me and study the lives of the saints is what I figured would be, studying the lives of the saints, I figured would be the best sort of resource for me trying to figure out how to improve as a husband and father, trying to say, well, I believe in the power of modeling, the power of mentoring. And so if I'm going to look for the best models and the best mentors around, well, let's see who are the saints who have been canonized or declared blessed or venerable that that live this vocation already of husband and father. And let's see if I can read through their stories and find some practical examples of things that I could maybe imitate and bring and incorporate into my life. So I started doing that, just in the lives of the saints and trying to figure out first, identify them. Okay, who are these saints who are husbands and fathers? And then reading their stories, and you know, life was already full. So I put the task to myself to do one, try to find one practical example from the lives of these men every 2 weeks and then write about it. And so that's what I started doing with this blog, Catholic Family Men. And I figured I'd put it out there for other guys. Surely there must be some other men that would be interested in this. So I just put it out there. And then over a year went by, and then I kind of stepped back from all the examples, and I started to see different patterns that all these examples, categories that they kind of fit into. So I kind of compiled them all together in an ebook that I called The 7 Top Decisions of Saintly Husbands and Fathers. So that's available for free out on the internet, either I think probably at CatholicFamilyMen.com or maybe even at thestationofthecross.com. But that's a free resource that I'm happy to share. And then I, from there, I felt, I discerned, I guess, the path of saying, okay, how about now men that are still in their earthly vocation here, that they might want to offer a good example that they've learned that we can share with other husbands and fathers. So I started to ask other men that I knew that I really admired, and different people started sending me different examples. And so we published a bunch of those, about a dozen of those, of guys that are still here in their earthly lives, sharing their best, their number one lesson that they've learned. That's just an interesting question to think about. What's the number one lesson I've learned in my vocation as a husband and father that I can share with other guys? And so so we published a bunch of those on the blog, CatholicFamilyMen.com. And not really sure, you know, where it's going from there. It's kind of just sitting there right now with that content on it. And we'll see if the Lord wants to use it for anything else in the future. But I think it's a good resource, at least, you know, so some things to think about for husbands and fathers, just to stay a bit more intentional.
I have to share with you a little bit of a smile related to an entry that I'm sure is already found on your blog someplace. When I was going through 4 years of deacon formation up in the Denver Archdiocese, one of the things they told us in the earliest of days is that a deacon candidate will eventually commit to a life of celibacy after, if the wife should pass, that the deacon would remain celibate and single for the rest of his natural life. And they said it's a good lesson in praying for your wife to last longer than you do. And I've taken that smiling advice fairly seriously, and I do now pray for my wife regularly. And I might say, you know, it probably wasn't something I was mindful of before, to just be praying for my wife. And she's got a lot to, I'll say, put up with or to help with, whether it's on Catholic Vitamins, whether it's being a deacon's wife in the parish, and they carry their own form of ministry. And so, you know, along with the children and grandchildren in our case, praying for the wife would be one of the things that I would put on the blog for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we'll have to see if you can put that into writing and we can publish it, because I don't think we have that specific example on there. But yeah, I mean, that's such a basic, and it's kind of a great example of things that we kind of know this is important, but somehow it can be kind of easy for it to slip through the cracks.
All right. We'll take that up offline. lovewillendabortion.com. What's that about? What's going on there?
Yeah. So that was something that I discerned in my move back up here to Rochester and, you know, starting again, work here with the Catholic radio station, this sense that I was working as a pastoral associate down at a parish in Pensacola, Florida, which was great. So we were down there for a bit. And then just this sense in parish life, there was just a calling that continued to come up in my prayer in terms of pro-life activity. I guess just noticing that, you know, I'm a big believer in a principle of affirming the good that we find everywhere, but then also looking for the next step. And so I just kind of noticed in parish life and even in the diocese and the way diocesan life goes, and just realizing there's a lot of good things going on in pro-life activity, and yet it still seems like there are some just a vast area that can be improved upon. There's so much need in this area. And so sensing this call that maybe the Lord is asking me to dive back into it. And I had a lot of experience in the past in pro-life activity, just in pretty amazing ways in the way that the Lord had worked in my life earlier on. And so this call back into it, I just sensed, okay, well, I can talk with Catholic Radio and see if there's a way that it would fit with them. And it ended up fitting and discerning going forward with a radio show and calling it Love Will End Abortion. And then now, you know, really diving into the ground work here in Rochester, New York, in the pro-life community, to do whatever I can to try to build that up and again, keep taking the next step. So it's been a blessing. The show Love Will End Abortion, it airs on the Station of the Cross up here, and another station I think carries it as well. And you can also find it on iTunes and things like that if people are interested. But the main idea is to look at the reality of abortion, not to hide from it, but to really contend with it, to face it and say, okay, what is this really? And then what is my responsibility based on the nature of what this is? And if we look at the questions that way, we realize our human responsibility is so much more than we would think it is if we really look at what the true nature of abortion really is and what it really is doing. And then from there, if we look at what's our Christian calling in all of this, then it becomes even more vital that we be engaged, because Jesus makes it really clear in Matthew 25 that a lot depends on how we treat the least among us. And so anyway, we try to dive into those questions and try to figure out what are the most effective nonviolent actions that we can take to end abortion as soon as possible, and really have a sense of urgency about the good that we can do here in trying to end it in law and try to make it unthinkable in culture as soon as possible. Because there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord is trying to end this thing and make it unthinkable. And he's, again, just asking for our response. And I think the more people start to wake up and give a full yes to what the Lord is asking of us, in terms of pro-life activity, I think the much more quickly is it going to end. And I believe it's on the way to, it's in, the momentum is going that direction. To me, it's just like, how can we speed it up as much as possible? Because the faster we can speed it up, the more we can save the impact of what it's doing to so many lives. So I think the shows are just a good way to kind of help people to, again, put their attention on something that sadly can sometimes slip through the cracks in terms of our intention, and then to get intentional about maybe taking the right steps forward in our own lives, and then just to be encouraged to keep going.
Well, Jim Havens, this has been an award-winning interview from our point of view. It's just been such a blessing, an absolute blessing to get to know you through this vehicle of our podcast and our Catholic radio program that we do here in North Central Arizona for our community. But this will, of course, be heard on the World Wide Web. And as our listeners have heard me say, just by way of scoping this, you know, we're not real big in this arena, but we do have listeners as far away as Abu Dhabi and Italy, Pescia, Italy. And so it's we just never know where God's grace will take your words and your testimony. And I hope it will inspire other people to repentance as they need repentance in God's plan, and to conversion of their hearts, and probably to a new form of strengthened faith walk and witness. So I just want to sincerely thank you. It took a while for us to get this scheduled, but it's been a grace, and I hope we're able to stay in touch. I will keep you in my prayers.
Yeah, thank you, Deacon Tom. I appreciate you and all your great work that you're doing with this podcast and in other areas as well, and also your wife, Dee. As you say, all the things she puts up with, but all the great ways that she works together with you, and it's a beautiful blessing to see your witness and to see just the impact of your good work. So thank you for all you do.
I wonder if our listeners could tell that I enjoyed time spent with Jim Havens, a gift to my faith walk, and I hope to your faith walk, dear listeners. So, Dee, we have some KPIH business to continue with. We have some giveaways. We have some feedback. We have some new friends.
I'm going to welcome two new Facebook friends. Okay. Our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. We're welcoming two new friends there. Jason M. in Wisconsin and Sheila K. I'm not absolutely sure about Sheila, but I think she's from New York.
All right. Well, welcome to the Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, as Dee just said. And if you are a sometime or frequent listener to us, we would appreciate it if you'd go to our Friends page. Once in a while, we do something like giveaways. One year, we had Dee doing some of her custom Christmas candies, and we gave those away to people that requested them. So
I remember. I was making candy like crazy that year because you announced it.
So if you listen, and if you like having your faith nourished from A to Z, who knows what the benefits might be for joining on Friends.
Well, for the last several episodes, we have been offering a book by Matthew Kelly called Resisting Happiness, and also the Rosewood Rosary, and a little booklet, How to Pray the Rosary.
No, it's not just any rosary.
I know it's not just any rosary.
It was blessed by Holy Father Pope Francis in Rome, and we're going to do a drawing for that, and then one of the things that's on the back cover of the Matthew Kelly book, Resisting Happiness, is every single moment is a chance to turn it all around. And I really like that sort of thinking. It's part of what Catherine Doherty used to say. Her words were, every moment is a moment of new beginning. And so we're glad to be able to share this book with one of our listeners.
I'll let you pull a name.
All right. Well, let me do the book first. All right. And the person's name for the book draw is Cindy Ellis in Washington. Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Cindy. We're glad to get that on its way to you.
And then for the rosary?
Yes, for the red rosewood.
Okay, there you go.
Rosary. And for the
the book, the How to Pray the Rosary.
Let me see. I have it here.
Oh, here.
Sorry. That would be Sarah Watson in PA. Well, Sarah, blessings to you. Pray for us when you get this rosary, and we'll pray for you. Thank you very much for being a listener to Catholic Vitamins, being a friend, and we've shared offline a time or two.
All right, and these two have both won some things before, so I think I still have their address. I won't have to contact them for that.
All right, and one of the new giveaways that we're starting is I have some copies of Holy Shock. I talked about that earlier in the show. That's the conversion story of Mother Miriam, who was originally in her Jewish life. Hey! In her Jewish life, she was known as Rosalind Moss. And in this CD, she talks to a group of, I think, mostly women in a parish setting. And they were laughing and enjoying her journey story. I think you'll really enjoy this. So if you would be interested in that, send your information in. Now we have something brand new, something very brand new and sort of exciting. Father Donald Calloway with the Marians of the Immaculate Conception back in New England has written a wonderful book called Champions of the Rosary. We interviewed him quite some time ago. This book is The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. It's an awesome book. I mean, just awesome. And one of the friends of KPIH here in our North Central Arizona community donated a copy. This is sealed and bound. It's never been opened. And if you would like to find out a lot about people who were heroes of the rosary, champions of the rosary, some history, development of it, some wonderful prayers, some pictures. This is a great book by Father Donald Calloway. And so for some number of weeks, we're going to be offering this as well. So if you're interested in either the Holy Shock CD and or Champions of the Rosary, dear Anne was so kind to give this to us.
She really was. Nice.
If you're interested, send your name to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. In our North Central Arizona community, if you don't happen to have email and you'd like to put in for either of these, you can call our phone number, 928-363-4144, and leave some contact information, and we'll be happy to follow through and put your name in a basket, and we'll have to be able to get back with you, of course, so leave enough information for us to do that. We're going to take a short music break, and we will be back.
May the heart of Jesus in this holy sacrament all the earth. May the heart of Jesus in this holy sacrament be praised, adored, and loved through all the earth. Thank you. Corazón de Jesús, en el Santísimo Sacramento, sea alabado, adorado y amado por todo el mundo. Que el corazón Santísimo Sacramento sea alabado, adorado y amado por todo el mundo.
That music you just heard was by a good friend of Catholic Vitamins, Dr. Bob Rice, who is a professor at Franciscan University and who has been on Catholic Vitamins a couple times, and he's the music leader for many of their summer conferences. We're going to be trying to help a little bit with the summer conferences, so we're grateful that we can play some of his music. And that song was The Heart of Jesus, both in English.
And he's in my playlist.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right, both in English and Spanish. Well, dear, the interview that we finished with
Jim
was an example of why we come up with these words for our faith walk, bodacious. The meaning of that word is excellent, admirable, or attractive, and he certainly presents a faith walk that is excellent, admirable, and attractive to many others. So we're thankful to Jim, and I hope we stay in touch.
I first really came across the word bodacious.
All right.
When our friend Pat Gohn wrote her book, Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, a few years ago.
That's right. She's a podcaster from back in...
She has the Among Women podcast. She's up in
Boston.
Northeast.
Yeah, yeah. Also in the Northeast, where our guest is from.
Pat also wrote a book more recently called All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. So I just thought I'd give her that plug.
There you go. Well, dear friends, remember our guest and the various things that he's involved in. Catholic Radio, he's involved in the CatholicFamilyMen.com work that he's doing. LoveWillEndAbortion.com and a radio program that he's doing there. I'm sure if they do downloads, you'll be able to do downloads if you want to be listening to some of his work. Dear, this is Catholic Vitamins, and I didn't prompt you to be ready for the next vitamin. Do you know it?
It is Catholic Vitamin C. Ends in Y. Seven letters.
So once again, this is how we do a little tease for the upcoming show. If you can guess what it is, and your guess is correct, Dee does another one of her baskets. We pull a name, and we'll send you something faith substantial and very nice, and sometimes a sweet treat.
Yes.
A bite of sweet treat. This is Catholic Vitamins with Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.